Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tomorrow we're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And right after we get done, by the way, Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, Dave Archer, the analyst for Atlanta Falcons, Mike Conte, they will all be there live, all right, getting you all the latest updates and everything that's going on during the draft. Nobody covers it like we do. But, Mike, let's all agree that we're going to get an impact player at you know, with 15, all mm-hmm. right? But the second-round pick, and this is something you've harped on, by the way, when we talk about our second, third, and fourth-round picks over the last X amount of years that haven't panned out. And when you look at any really good NFL team, guys, they have a number of second, third, and fourth-round picks that have been drafted and have lived up to it. And we haven't. And, you know, the latest is a guy named Richie Grant, Mike, that, right. you know, we thought, all right, he's going to be that guy, and he's going to come on, and it never really happened for him. So the second-round pick, to me, is as important as the guy we're going to take at 15th. And again, we're assuming we're going to stay there. But what are you thinking there?
Well, we've looked at a number of these mock drafts, and again, it all depends on which one you're using, but we want to get a corner. Everyone assumes, just assume that edge is what we're going to do, right?
Okay.
What are we going to get at corner? Now, we talked to Brian McFadden last week, and I said, I want Maxwell Harrison. You've seen him play up in Kentucky where Trinity's going to school, and he says, no way that guy's going to be available in the second round. And there are some second-round picks where he is there, and that would be something, because if we could go get Harrison, I think that's a guy that can start, and Hughes can pop over to the nickel package.
I'm with you.
And now we're in business. Then there's some other guys, and then if you look at the corners, some of these dudes are, well, damaged goods. You've got some guys that have had some injuries. There's some guys that you're like, well, you know, is he going to be able to contribute right now for me? Because that's a big one. Like Siobhan Revelle from East Carolina, really big-time speed and elements, but he's dealing with a lot of physical stuff. So that's one of those guys. Michigan, we talked about, they've got a corner who's projected to go in the first round, Will Johnson. And he's got some injury stuff. He hasn't been able to run a 40 for anybody.
That's right.
So, but those are guys. No, again, he's not going to be there. But corner in the second, that's important. I would say, if you want to judge Terry Fontenot, yes, second-rounders have been brutal for us historically. Dimitroff struggled late in his career with it. We did get Marlon Davidson, which comes to mind. Isaiah Oliver was solid. He became a nickel.
Eventually. He was.
Still
he was.
Playing in the league.
He is. He got hurt and had to overcome a major injury.
Still
but yes.
playing in the league. Jalen Collins was a bust in the second round. That's all in the last 10 years. I think the best second rounder that Terry's drafted is Bergeron out of Syracuse.
I agree.
Because Bergeron is plugged in. We never complain about him. Matthew's been great, and he was a 38th overall pick. Rook was 35th, but they moved up to get him.
Yeah.
And I know that you're higher on Rook. I just haven't seen it. I'm not saying he can't be. I'm just saying I'm not yet a believer. Arnold Ebiketie, you know, he was, you know, six sacks was the team lead last year. But that's he's just kind of hovering. And the, well, is this going to be the year he really springboards? Because this is the last year Arnold Ebiketie is under contract for the Falcons as a second rounder.
If you are wondering, we pick basically 14th in your mind, which is pick 46 in the second round. That does not mean we stay there. But as we get through the first round Friday night and we turn around, on Thursday, and we turn around Friday night, it's Browns, Giants, Titans. That's the order that starts the second round, which is why our man Charles Davis was saying those same teams, if they don't find the quarterback they need, could easily be looking early in the second round. But that doesn't mean we're going to stay at 14. But we have the 14th pick in the second round, which is pick 46. So, you know, you've got teams, again, like the Raiders – and the Patriots and the Bears and the Saints drafting in front of us. As a matter of fact, the Bears have the 39th and the 41st pick. Bears could get really good quickly if they do this draft right. They got some pieces already in place.
Right.
A lot of people talking about Warren, the tight end out of Penn State. You give Caleb Williams somebody in the middle of the field. He's a great blocker. And then you turn right back around, Mike, and grab another high second-round pick with pick 41. But that's where we're picking. I just want to – we cannot dismiss this.
No. Now, again, could you – just for throwing some stuff out there, Terry, and we played the soundbite last hour, I agree with him 100%. You do all these mock drafts, you do all these websites, whether you're on Madden, you try to make trades, and these are trades you can never pull in the real world.
No, you can't.
And, you know, I saw that, I think it was Tori McElhaney did a mock draft that, and again, her website she used, I couldn't get it on the website I was using. You know, I think she traded back, I want to say.
It wouldn't allow you to do it?
Yeah, either Green Bay or the Chargers, and we were able to get some stuff. You could still trade. Now, I've been able to trade down in the second round and get a third round pick. So move down a little bit, and then now I got a third-round pick, and now I got four picks in the top 120, which is a better place to be.
It is a better place.
Especially if you believe that everybody between 15 and 45 is the same dude.
Correct, because after we get through the first and second, then we have a fourth and two sevens. So, again, I'm not going to, you know, thumb my nose at a fourth-round pick. You got to get that right as well. But then, to Mike's point, I would like to add a third if possible. And if you're going to do that, day two would be the day to move and potentially add that pick. But as we talk about the draft, look, first round is easy. And I say easy from the standpoint of you are by now hopefully familiar with some of the names we've talked about. Maybe you watch some of these guys. Maybe you have your own impressions on who you think the Falcons should take. I think it's pretty clear cut. And as I said, when Terry said today, as he addressed the media, you know, talking about need versus the best player, for me, it's need, need, need. It may not be that way every year. And, you know, this is what they said about Kyle Pitts. Mike, we took the best player. Okay, great. Fourth overall, he was the best player on the board. That year, so be it. But this year, it's need for me. And I think it's undeniable that if we don't go with defensive personnel and specifically, Mike, front seven guys, however you want to chop that up, D tackles, edge, I think we're making a mistake. And that's the part where a lot of Falcon fans are skeptical because they've seen this team have needs in the past and ignore the need over what they perceive to be the best player.
And again, we've covered every angle. At least we think we've covered every angle. We'll continue to cover the angles with every expert, including DJ Shockley, who's so dialed in up in Athens, that we all know what Georgia does. Look, I would love to take Mykael Williams if I know what he's going to be. Now, this is the great debate. We always argue about Georgia players, and I have guys killing me on Twitter because I said, we got to go get Mike Green from Marshall. And so immediately, and like, I'm not saying, like, we do this for a living. You work for a living. You don't have time to break down the draft. Some guy's like, why are we going with a small school? Well, he started at UVA, and he was a guy that blew up a guy from Oregon at the combine. Well, why didn't he play in the Senior Bowl? There's a bunch of guys that are projected to be in the top 30 that left after they put the work in. So playing in the Senior Bowl is just another chance to get hurt, and no one cares. So you show the scouts what you do, and if you really do dazzle in the workouts, and you leave. That's been going on for years. So I'm trying to explain to this one guy, you know, feels that this guy doesn't have a work ethic. He didn't play in the Senior Bowl because who gives a crap, you know? So that's part of it. I would love to go with Mykael Williams. If you can guarantee me, Carl, Mykael's going to be a double-digit sack guy. And is he going to have an impact right out of the jump? When is the last time we had that impact guy? Vic Beasley, you know, he was a decent rookie year. The second year is when he jumped off the charts. When he had, who was it? We had Dwight Freeney came in last minute.
Yeah.
And we had a really solid four-man front with some really good pieces in the middle. Man, that's the thing. And a lot of guys feel that way about Mike Green. He gives them Vic Beasley vibes. Well, guys, we got to get an edge rusher, and we just got to hope, to Carl's point, that they have nailed it out of the, whether it's Pierce, whether it's Green, whether it's Mykael Williams, or maybe, as you said, I think it's a great argument if we go defensive tackle. Because I think the defensive tackles at 15 are a sure bets than the edge rushers.
So let me say this about Mike Green. As we were talking about it yesterday, and Guy Talks on the way. When you debate his ability and you feel like he's a small school guy or whatever, get that out of your head. He finished the season first in college football in sacks. First in tackles by a defensive lineman. First in sacks for yardage, meaning negative yards for sacks. He was number one in college football. As a matter of fact, he had, 42 more yards than the number two guy on the list. So not only is he getting sacks, these are sacks, Mike, that are deep in the pocket, negative yards, putting you in not only third long situations, but now we're talking about fourth, you've got to punt the ball. This dude's a producer, plain and simple. And when you talk about his motor, that is something nobody I've spoken to talked about. He has a motor. So if you're wondering, like, why are we doing this or why are we thinking about this kind of guy, if you ever question a guy's motor, you should never draft him because that only gets worse when you get to the NFL and those checks get bigger. So, Mike, I'm just telling you, like, disruptive, violent, motor, these are things that Mike Green brings. Explosive, I'm all in.